At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody, for our special preview. Western Michigan week is here, Chris, and here we are, week two. Boy, that didn't take long to get to. I mean, we all off season, seems like it takes forever. And then, bam, here's the season. And we have back-to-back MAC schools to start the season. Of course, the 52-6 win in week one for Ohio State. We come right back week two. We have another MAC opponent. This one is going to be a step up, in my opinion, from what we saw last week in Akron. We're bringing in Western Michigan. And since we want to bring you guys the best content possible, we've got the expert of the MAC with us. You could call him the MAC Daddy, if you like. It's Alex from the MAC Sports Connection podcast. Alex, welcome to the OHIO podcast.
Appreciate the invite, guys. I've been called now officially the voice, the podcast voice of the MAC, the MAC-spert, and now the MAC Daddy. So I'm just going to collect these nicknames like Infinity Stones here.
There you go. There you go. Now, listen, most people from this region, we love us some action. We like to follow former Buckeyes who seem to trickle their way through the transfer portal back to MAC schools. We like to watch MAC on Thursday night. It's one of my favorite things to do is watch the MAC action when it's on television, because I know I followed a lot of these high school guys. When you follow recruiting, you see these guys, and some of them end up in MAC schools. And, you know, a lot of kids right here from my neck of the woods in Central Ohio, they end up going to Toledo and to Akron. In fact, my wife had a student who is actually one of the offensive linemen that was recruited last year for Toledo. So it's cool to see these people who you know and right here from the Buckeye State and get to follow them. But unfortunately, we're going to go a little bit further than Toledo into that state up north, as we like to call it, as I'm sure you're aware. And we're going to talk a little bit about Western Michigan this week. Now, before we dive into the questions, I do have a couple things I want to show. For all of you who are watching this on YouTube, the game is scheduled for this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. It will be on the Big Ten Network this Saturday. The Big Ten Network. And for those of you who are keeping score at home, this is the last 10 games Ohio State has had against the MAC. Of course, that includes last week's 52-6 win over Akron. As you look back over the last few MAC teams we have played, I want you to look at 2015, where we played two MAC schools back-to-back, just like we are here in 2024. That was a close game with Northern Illinois in 2015. Of course, that was probably the best roster Ohio State has had since 2014, the national championship team. That roster in 2015 might have been even better. The one loss to Michigan State kept them out of the national championship. And then we haven't had as good of a roster as that 2015 team since until this year. And so there's some similarities there. But look at that score, 20-13 against Northern Illinois. And then the very next week, the next opponent was Western Michigan. That team was coached by one P.J. Fleck, who now is rowing the boat over there in Minnesota. That score was 38-12. I was at that game. So at the time, I was dating my wife, my future wife at that time. So we went to that game. So those are the last 10 games Ohio State has had against the MAC. And so when you look at those scores, Alex, Other than that Northern Illinois game, Ohio State's pretty much had their way with the MAC in the last 10 games against them. Let's start here with that. Western Michigan is going to be more of a challenge than Akron. Yes. And why, yeah. Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you this. Western Michigan, and no disrespect to what Joe Moorhead's doing over in Akron, you know, the last two seasons, they've lost five games apiece by a score. I mean, it's been – I mean, they have been excruciatingly close. Obviously, breaking in a new quarterback for Akron, not ideal. You had DJ Irons under center the last couple of years. He was just such a great playmaker for them. Akron, once again, it feels like I say this every year, they're rebuilding. They're trying to figure it out. I'm hoping this year they can. I'm really high on Akron. But Western Michigan is a different beast. I have them as one of my dark horse contenders for the Mid-American Conference. A year ago, they went 4-8, brand new coach. The Tim Lester era ended. The Lance Taylor era began. I am very, very high on Western Michigan. I mean, Jalen Buckley ran for 1,000 yards as a freshman a year ago. Kenneth Womack, their star receiver, didn't play last week. He's going to be playing ideally this week. I haven't seen anything on the injury report to suggest otherwise. Hayden Wolf, he looked the part of a quality quarterback last week, 12 of 18. And this defense, I think, kind of shocked a lot of people. Wisconsin was, I think, 24-point favorites and had to squeak this thing out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, since you brought that up, let's go there. Give everybody kind of an in-depth review of what – how and why and what happened in Madison to where the Broncos, I mean, had Luke Fickell sweating big bullets there. I mean, the student section was still jumping around. And then the very next few plays after that, Western Michigan's in the end zone and they're winning this thing 14-13, the fourth quarter.
Well, it's all been a big part of Jalen Buckley and what he's been able to do. Jalen Buckley is, I think, could possibly win MAC player of the year, or at least offensive player of the year. He's a phenomenal running back, and he showed it. I mean, yeah, he didn't have that many carries. He only had 16 carries this week, about 64 yards, but he scored both of those touchdowns. Gave Western Michigan the lead to start the fourth quarter. And for me, it's one of those things. You got to look at this Western Michigan defense. This isn't the same team of yesteryear. These are guys who are coming out. They are ready to play. Yes, you don't have guys like Braden Fisk anymore. But with Western Michigan, they just reload defensively. They needed a scheme adjustment. But to me, they've looked very much the part of maybe a lower end Big Ten team against Wisconsin.
Yeah. So you mentioned that they're kind of a dark horse for you. Where exactly do you think they'll finish in the MAC? And more importantly, what will it take for them to win the MAC?
This defense, I mean, is going to be so critical for them to win the MAC. I mean, you've got the Mid-American Conference who, frankly, right now, the prohibitive favorite has to be the Miami Redhawks. They just dropped a heartbreaker up there in Chicago area against Northwestern, 13-7, a tough loss, but that's a good defense. I mean, that Miami Redhawks defense lights out. They came, they play tough. Guys like Matt Salopek are going to attack the ball every single play. So for me, I think it's Western Michigan. You have to have a good defense. I mean, you're going to rely on guys like Donald Willis, who this last week had 10 tackles. Bilal Cohn, again, another guy who had 10 tackles. Boone Bonema. I mean, these are guys people are like, who are you talking about? Are these college football 25 generated names? No, they're real players and they're all talented. I mean, these are guys who have been through coaching changes. These are guys who Lance Taylor is starting to recruit, getting them to buy into the system. They're doing this whole thing called EAT. And I think it's really, really important. These guys want to feast. They want to attack their opponent, feast on the opportunities. And Lance Taylor is, I don't know if you guys saw his pregame speech or not. I was ready to run through a brick wall listening to him in the locker room.
So let's talk a little bit about that roster a little bit. Do they have any NFL talent anywhere on the roster? And if so, who are some of the names that Ohio State fans should definitely be aware of? I know you've been giving us a few of them, but maybe highlight the big ones here.
Well, again, Jalen Buckley, I mean, his story is so compelling to me. I think when a lot of people look at him, they're like, you know, they see the classic, oh, he's a walk-on, and then he was freshman running back of the year. I mean, he was phenomenal. Defensively, you got to look at Junior Tyson Lee. This is, he's from, I believe, Indiana, South Bend, if I remember correctly. He's just one of those guys. He has such a high motor. This week he had, you know, two tackles, so nothing stellar. But when you look at his career last year, he really took a little bit of a step forward. He's slow to kind of get it going, but I think this could be a really big year for him. He's already got 1/8 of his tackle total from a year ago. And I think that he was buried on the depth chart behind other great players. This is a guy I think people should watch out for. He's a big boy. He's fast. And he is severely underrated on this defensive line. I think he could get some things done this week.
Okay.
Let me jump in here real fast, Chris, and do a follow-up question to that. You brought up Lance Taylor. For people who don't know who he is, can you kind of give a quick background of who Lance Taylor is and why he is going to be a hot name in the coaching world?
He's young, he's aggressive, and he's got a fire that we haven't seen at Western Michigan since PJ Fleck. I believe he's from Louisville. He is one of the former assistants at Louisville, and this is, from what I understand, his first major head coaching opportunity. And he's grabbing the bull by the horns. No pun intended towards Buffalo fans. He's grabbing the bull by the horns, and he's wrestling with this thing. He knows Kalamazoo is a special place. Western Michigan hasn't won a MAC championship since that 2016 season, where they, funny enough, played Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl. Lost that one 24-16, but he understands the history that's in Kalamazoo. That Waldo Stadium has been a special place to a lot of people, and he wants to bring that magic back. The last head coach, Tim Lester, phenomenal guy, I think a great coach. It didn't work out. It's always hard to bring your star alumni back and kind of get them to take the reins because the expectations are so much higher. I mean, this was a guy who was competing, if you guys remember this name, with Chad Pennington for MAC Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
With Randy Moss for MAC Player. I mean, so he was competing with those guys for those accolades. And now you get to see a guy who's outside the system, isn't as familiar, but he's so eager, so hungry to learn. He wants to build on the success as well as create a legacy for Western Michigan to say, hey, look, we're not the Western Michigan pre-PJ Fleck. We're the post-PJ Fleck era. And we're going to continue to build on that.
Awesome. So speaking of building on it and what they can do. So let's take a look, or let's get your opinion on what they can do offensively and defensively to attack an Ohio State team that, you know, didn't give up more than three, or only gave up three plays of 10 yards or more last week. What can they do offensively to get production, and defensively, are they going to stop guys like Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Egbuka, Travion Henderson?
Well, I think when you look at the defensive side, this is clearly going to be a strength for Western Michigan this year. And I'll kind of touch on this a little bit. When you've got a class of seniors like Donald Willis, who last week he had 6 solo tackles, no fumbles, no interceptions or anything, but he is not afraid to put his nose into every single play. Now, the outside, I think, is going to be a challenge for Western Michigan, but Western Michigan had 3 dropped interceptions a week ago. I mean, this is a secondary that they came out, they fought, they took advantage of the opportunities. They threw multiple looks to confuse Wisconsin, to throw them off rhythm, to make them play into bad situations. Wisconsin caught a couple breaks, a little bit of homer bias in that, and I recognize that. But I think Wisconsin took advantage of the mistakes, the few mistakes Western Michigan made, and exploited those a little bit. I think Western Michigan is a week better. You know, that when you listen to Lance Taylor talk, he talks about, we're focused on 1 week at a time, the coaching cliche, if you will. He's focused on Ohio State this week. He wasn't thinking about Ohio State a week ago. He's not going to think about Ohio State after they do their film session on Monday or Tuesday. he's focused on Ohio State for this week. And I know, just like I know how he is as a person, he has been poring all week over how do we stop these players. And I think you're going to see a lot of multiple looks, a lot of mixing up things, some disguised blitzes, things like that. This is going to be a defensive effort from Western Michigan. I refuse to say that Ohio State will score 52 points, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got to see a lower scoring offense from Ohio State this week, especially after what we saw Ohio State do in the first half against Akron last week. Now, obviously, again, new quarterback, you know, there's that constant situation of you're trying to break in these new players, mm-hmm. get a feel for in-game experience. You've been playing against your own guys. Now you get somebody else with a different jersey. I think Ohio State, they're going to try to start fast, and I think they can. But don't be surprised if Western Michigan tries to mix it up just to throw guys off of rhythm.
Yeah. Offensively, do you think that they have – a game plan at all here? Or because, I mean, let's be honest, Ohio State's strength is also probably their defense.
Correct.
6 points last week. I've made the bet. I set the bar 8.5 games. I said 8 games Ohio State would not give up a touchdown in 8 games. So we got one. They got 2 field goals. Am I looking at number 2 here, or is there something offensively Western Michigan is going to be able to bring?
I think this, and I hate saying this because of my love for this conference and this league, I think that you're looking at a potential 2 in a row. That being said, Western Michigan, much better team than Akron, both on paper and, you know,
how much better? Like if these two teams played each other, what would the line be?
I mean, I think Western Michigan probably beats Akron 41-13.
Quite a bit better than.
Yeah, I think Western Michigan has a much better defense. Akron had some players. Don't get me wrong. You know, right. Of course, Ohio State, you know, made several mistakes in the first half. But I'm not going to kid you and say that Akron's going to go out and run the table and get to the national championship. Western Michigan's also not going to do that. That being said, you're going to get a much better fight. And I think on the field, you're going to see a much better fight, but I don't know that the score will reflect that. I think that Western Michigan, I think they put up 10, okay. which would break your touchdown thing.
Yeah.
I think they put up 10, but I also think that Western Michigan has a good enough defense to hold Ohio State to 45 or less.
That sounds fair. Okay. What's the spread, Chris? 35?
I believe it was 35.
I think it was 35 as of this morning.
So that would be right under that spread.
45-10. Yeah, you're right. You're right on it. You're like nailing it, right?
I didn't know that was the spread coming into this. So
yeah. So Alex, your Vegas needs to hire you.
Something.
Yeah. When you look at MAC schools, and this is a little bit off topic of the game, but it correlates nonetheless. When you look at schedules of MAC schools, a lot of them will schedule multiple road games against big opponents.
Yes.
For people who don't know, how important is that for their athletic departments to get a big paycheck like this?
Well, I think it does two things. One, it's the paycheck aspect. You know, if you listen to Coach Jim McElwain up at Central Michigan, he'll tell you, you know, we know what these games are. They're payday games. If we go and win them, I mean, we got paid to beat you in your own house. That's great. But he understands, especially at Central Michigan, that it's a payday game. Now, that being said, these players don't believe that. These players believe that they can go out and compete with anybody in the country, and that's because of how they prepped. Now, I do think that there are obvious advantages to playing Ohio State in the horseshoe. You get an opportunity to have national television exposure. This is on the Big Ten Network, who now the Big Ten is truly a nationwide conference. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's national exposure there. You get more eyes for your program now, even on the West Coast. I think that's huge for Western Michigan for recruiting. That's huge for Akron for recruiting. But I also think that it, in some way, it helps to build these programs up. I mean, you look at what Boise State did years and years ago. After that Fiesta Bowl win over Oklahoma, they went out and they were scheduling the Oregons, the Auburns. They were getting the best matchups they could, the Virginia Techs. And that helped to kind of put that program continually in the national spotlight. I think the same thing happened with the Mid-American Conference. Less wins, to be sure, but I think it's the same thing. I mean, you saw Kent State last week. They traveled to Pitt, and they lost a tough one at Pitt. They're now traveling to Tennessee. I mean, they've got three big non-conference games. You've got Toledo's traveling to Mississippi State this year. Northern Illinois is going down to NC State. These are all programs who, one, they recognize the value of that paycheck, but two, they recognize that Toledo could catch Mississippi State. Northwestern, they survived a tough game against Miami. Wisconsin needed two fourth quarter touchdowns to beat Western Michigan. So, yeah, they're payday games for guys like Ohio State, but it's a pointy ball, and you're asking 18 to 23-year-old kids to kick it through uprights in a 45-mile-an-hour crosswind. Like, it's anything can happen, and I think these kids all believe that.
Mm-hmm. Chris, do you have any other questions before we get into – I have another one if you don't.
Well, just a comment more than anything. Spreads up to 38.5.
It's okay. Moved up a little bit.
And,
okay.
And the over-under now is sitting at 53.5.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Alex is saying, take the under. That's what Alex is saying. What? All right. So there's been a lot of talk about relegation in college football, meaning if you follow the European soccer model, that if the MAC champion would replace the worst team in the Big Ten or something like that. I'd like to get your thoughts, Alex, as someone who follows the MAC, who loves the MAC, who is invested in the MAC. What would you think of something like that?
So it's really interesting you bring this topic up. For those who follow my podcast, and I know I'm sure we have some cross pollination here. I'm sure some of your followers do, in fact, know that I exist. I had proposed a while ago my idea of a relegation promotion system, and it would involve the top two or three, I think even up to four MAC programs. And you, what happens is you would kind of align them with the Big Ten. So you'd regionally align each group of five. You would restore the Pac-10 or Pac-12 because no offense to the Big Ten, I think this is what is hurting college sports, because it's great for football. You're hurting the lacrosses. You're hurting the swimmings. You're hurting the field hockey. And I'm just as passionate about those. Anybody in the world will tell you, they know that I'm a big Miami field hockey fan. That's a great program down there. They've won something like 14 straight MAC championships. That's a great culture that they've built down there in Oxford. But you're not looking at everything else. The football paycheck is huge. It's important. Those networks are great. So I really think football needs to separate from the rest of collegiate athletics, first off. Secondly, I think if you do a promotion relegation system, I think what you're going to see is you're going to force the Indianas of the world to step up. You're going to force the Vanderbilts of the world to step up or get relegated. Because if you get relegated, that's not just, oh, we're no longer a Big Ten team. That's loss of revenue. That's loss of access to the TV contracts you get just because you're affiliated with the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC, whatever it may be. I firmly believe you give Toledo or Miami the financial benefits that Indiana or Vanderbilt receive from being in those conferences, they will be much more competitive than both of those teams in those leagues over, you know, 3 or 4 years. It's going to take time. I mean, we saw Cincinnati go from being a playoff team, joining the Big 12. They're back down towards the bottom. It's going to take time. But as that money starts to come in, you can upgrade facilities. You can get better equipment. You can do all these different things, more money into recruiting, NIL. There's so many other layers that Group of Five schools don't have access to, at least right now, that they would benefit from greatly. So I don't hate the idea of a relegation. I am 1,000% against a split playoff, because the second you split the Group of Five from the Power Four and you divide FBS football even more, you then just say, hey, you're another FCS, and that FCS or that Group of Five championship means nothing because, quote, you didn't play anybody for it.
So I'm wondering if then you are not in favor of a Group of Five end of year tournament.
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. You still want to see that Group of Five, top Group of Five, get in the 12 and see what they got.
So I think it goes even beyond that. Not to rah rah Group of Five, but I really think that the access the Group of Five have this year with a guaranteed playoff spot is huge. But I really think that you don't have a true championship playoff until you involve every conference champion. And I've advocated for this since the playoff started, back when it was the top four teams, whatever it was. And I really think that, yes, you're going to see Miami, Ohio lose to Alabama 65-10, whatever it is. But we literally just watched Georgia beat the Big 12 champions 2 years ago, 65-7 in the national championship game. Kent State played Georgia closer that season, 38-22 in Georgia.
Yeah.
Than Texas Christian did in the national championship. Granted, harder to wake up for Kent State. I get it. You lose that Kent State game, you're not in the championship. Mm-hmm. So you got to look at it from both ways. And I really think that when you say every conference champion deserves a spot, every sports league in the NCAA at every other level, with every other sport, all conference champions automatically get in. That's why we love March Madness. We love those upsets. We love the Loyola Chicago's coming out of nowhere, surprising everybody. Who does everybody cheer for when that happens? It's not UNC. It's not Florida. Everybody starts pulling for Loyola because they want to see that upset.
Sure.
And I think the same applies here.
As an Ohio State basketball fan, I can honestly say I do not appreciate the upsets.
Fair enough. Just
throwing that out there.
You didn't appreciate Ohio beating Michigan back in 2013? Is that what I'm hearing?
That I appreciated. Anytime, and it's just like Ohio State, anytime we get a chance to beat up on any team from that state up north, it feels good.
Greatest MAC football moment ever. Go.
How much time you guys got?
We got all the time in the world, but I thought you would go straight to Toledo over the team up north.
You know, I got to say that one personally has a little bit more sweet relevance, only because it's Toledo over Michigan. You know, having gone to Toledo, that one is talked about with unbelievable regularity. But I honestly think you got to look back in the 90s at some of those Central Michigan over Michigan State games. Mm-hmm. Those have been so critical. I think if I'm going to go another Toledo route, Toledo beating up on Purdue for all those years. But I think the big one that stands out to me, because it was just such a dominant victory, Toledo over Penn State, 24-6 back in 2000. Gary Pinkel was coaching that team. They went into Happy Valley and not only beat them, but they dominated them. They were up 24-0, like heading into the fourth quarter. And that Toledo team did not go bowling because they didn't win the MAC championship.
Mm.
So fun little history lesson for you.
Yeah, that is. Greatest rivalry in the MAC.
Oh, Bowling Green Toledo, hands down. Everybody wants to talk about Central Michigan, Western Michigan, and that's a phenomenal rivalry. I love that game, especially with it being the snow-covered games the last couple of years. But if anybody is anybody and you know college football, you know Bowling Green Toledo is the Ohio State Michigan of the Mid-American Conference. Yeah, and Ohio State Michigan is the greatest rivalry in college sports.
You can literally almost throw a rock between their stadiums. That's how close Bowling Green and Toledo are to one another. Yeah. People who aren't from the state of Ohio and have traveled north and gone through Wood County into there into Toledo. It's you pass one and then you're in Toledo and you're like, wow, that was close. Yeah, that's a big rivalry. Most underrated MAC stadium.
Most underrated is probably, in my opinion, Peden Stadium down there in Athens. Athens has, I mean, they've got a great setup. It's old. There's a lot of history there. If you look up the history of Peden Stadium, like there's some really cool stuff that they've done. It's one of the oldest stadiums in the country. Now, I would say if it still existed, the Akron Rubber Bowl, that was, you know, closed back in the 2009, mm-hmm. but I'd have to say Peden Stadium. It's a great facility. It's a great place to watch football. You get the old feel. You can feel the history there. And for me, I'm a sucker for history at football stadiums.
Yeah. Chris, you got anything else, man?
No, I've got nothing. I'm just pumped up for this Saturday already, Eric.
I know. I'm juiced. Yeah. Alex has done a good job of filling my head with anticipation.
Although I've got to disagree with Alex, because he said this one's going to be close. I'm saying take the points.
Are you? Oh, so we have two guys disagreeing. Okay.
Hey, right, you know, it's your money. Don't come crying to me when you lose it.
Beautiful.
I don't cry. I'm not the head coach at Michigan.
We're recording this on a Monday night, and I just glanced over at ESPN, didn't realize that Florida State and BC had started, and BC's driving on them already. What is up with Florida State? My goodness gracious.
They're
probably not. A little overrated there. My goodness. All right, so this is your chance to give us your official prediction. Are you sticking with 45-10?
I'm going to go 45-10. Okay. I would love to see the Broncos do a little bit better and pull out this victory in Columbus. We had a couple close ones down there, specifically Toledo, Ohio State. That's been 13 years now. And then that Northern Illinois game you talked about. But I think it's going to be 45-10. Buckeyes win this one.
All right. Another fun MAC question for you. What's the best mascot? Who's the best mascot in the MAC?
Man, you're trying to get me canceled. I've got multiple mascots who follow my podcast. So you're just trying to get me canceled. So I'm going to go with the safe answer. Give me the live dog Mission over at Northern Illinois, the world's greatest doggo in sports.
We are big fans of live animals being mascot. Like,
yes.
Listen, I don't like anything about Boulder, Colorado right now at all, but that mascot's freaking awesome. You run out with a live bison who can trample you. I'm all about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that one all day long.
Yeah. Give me Mission. Mission is the goodest boy you'll ever meet. He has his own house. He sleeps better than the students do at Northern Illinois. He's a great dog.
That's awesome. See, that's why I ask these questions. You just never know that. I would have never.
Yeah. What? Hey, you. Zippy's the only primary female mascot in the country. That's cool.
I didn't even know
that. It's a kangaroo for a team in Ohio.
Zippy's awesome, man. Don't be hating on Zippy now.
Oh, you know, it's just low hanging fruit at this point, I guess we could say. But my wife was conflicted because she graduated from Ohio State and then did her master's at Akron. So when Akron plays Ohio State, I'm like, are you going to go half and half? And she's like, no, I'm just going to wear scarlet. I'm like, okay, I got you. I understand.
She's not pulling out the old tress and doing half Youngstown State, half Ohio State.
No. Although I would love for the day that the MAC announces that Youngstown State's coming to the MAC.
Listen, that's a whole nother topic for another time. I am not that I'm against it, but Ohio doesn't need 7 MAC teams.
No,
sure they do.
No.
Youngstown's more Pennsylvania, anyways. It feels like.
It feels like, but that's like calling Cincinnati Kentucky, and that's just not true.
Well, that's right. They call that the state of Cincinnati. They don't want to belong to anybody. Trust me. I've had the Bearcats on, man. They don't look at us. They're like, Ohio, nah. Indiana, nah. Kentucky, no. We're just Cincinnati. I'm like, oh, okay.
They're the Vatican City of college football.
Hey, I'm okay with that.
It's kind of like UCLA saying, hey, we are a school in Los Angeles. Okay, gotcha. Oh, well, then what school would you like to see the MAC invite?
Man, so they're bringing UMass. I think the MAC possibly missed an opportunity to bring Delaware with UMass as a traveling partner.
Yeah, did they go to Conference USA?
They did go to Conference USA. And what's crazy about that move is the MAC is adding women's rowing starting next year. Delaware is going to be an affiliate in women's rowing next year. I'm like, this is a missed opportunity to bring them into the league. Now, that being said, I am still bullish on going and grabbing Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. Or if you're going to promote from FCS, give me Illinois State, Indiana State. Indiana State's got a great basketball and great baseball history.
I like Indiana State. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me the Fighting Larry Birds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or more recently, was it the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yes.
Yeah.
But
I think, too,
a lot of people don't realize this. Ball State and Indiana State have a rivalry already. Like, it's the battle. I believe it's the battle for the blue victory bell or the blue key rivalry. It's something like that. And up until last year, Indiana State actually owned the rivalry trophy. It's a historic rivalry that you could restore now as a conference game. I think that'd be really cool.
Well, let's make that happen, Alex. We'll get the podcast world fired up for that one.
Love that.
Get the MAC to go after Indiana State because
I love it.
They got a great basketball program as well, of course. So
everybody else is expanding. Why not?
Why not? I mean, you know, I think, well, and I think that's why people love the MAC because the MAC has been so stable in all of this chaos. And I wouldn't mind a little shakeup, get us to 14 teams. I think in modern college football, you have to be a player. And I mean, bringing UMass back, I think, was a solid move. But now you got to bring in at least one more. Get us back to an even 14. Let's ride with Indiana State.
There you go. You heard it here on the OHIO podcast in conjunction with the MSC podcast. Let's bring them back. Let's make Indiana State and UMass the next two members of the MAC, make it 14. And then that's just the start because then they're going to be going to 20. And then
everybody's going to have at least 24 by the time it's all said and done.
I think so. It's going to be. And then they're going to break up into regional divisions again.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a Big Ten West. And it's going to be all the old Pac-12 teams. It's inevitable.
Yeah, that's exactly what we think is going to happen. Absolutely. Alex, tell everybody, if this is the first time of meeting you, where they can find you in your podcast at.
Well, first off, Eric, Chris, thank you guys so much for having me on. This is great to talk to you guys. You guys have done a great job. I've listened to some of your shows, and you guys do a really great job covering the Buckeyes and just really bringing it to people. You guys are knowledgeable. That's that Toledo education showing. You guys have done a really great job. So thank you for the opportunity. But if anybody wants to follow me, check out my content, check out my hot, lukewarm, cold takes, whatever they may be. You can find me over at the MSC Podcast on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube at MSC Podcast. And then anywhere where podcasts are available, I'm part of the Varsity Podcast Network through Learfield. You can find me on the Varsity Network app, or you can find me anywhere podcasts are: Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever they are.
We will put his YouTube link in the show notes below. So if you're watching on YouTube, just scroll down, click that. That'll take you to his page. Give the guy a subscription. Follow him this season. If you're from the Midwest and you're a Big Ten person like Chris and I and Alex, you need to be watching Maction, man. It is so fun. Some of those games on a Thursday night and it's snowing. It's Toledo, Bowling Green, and it's snowing. And I think Alex is somewhere in a box up there with like a heat warmer or something, watching the game while all the students are freezing, getting snowed on. But it's great TV. It's must-watch TV. There's a reason why they got the word action attached to the Mac, because it is so much fun to watch. Alex, thank you so much for coming and being a part of this, breaking down Western Michigan for us. Where are you going this week to cover a game? You coming to Columbus?
I really wanted to. My duties at the Division III school I work at are calling me away, so no in-person coverage, but people can expect that I'll be talking about stuff all weekend.
There you have it. So after you watch our post-game reaction and everything Sunday night, go check out the MSC Podcast. See what he has to say about how the Broncos and Buckeyes fared this past Saturday, guys. Please like, share, subscribe. We really do help. That really does help the channel. We really do appreciate each and every single one of you who watch this. If you're a Western Michigan fan and you watch this, give us your prediction and comments down in the comment section. We love to go back and forth with rival fans. Trust us, those fans from up north like to troll this page, so we're used to it. So you're not going to offend us. If you're a Buckeye fan, let us know what your score prediction is down in the comment section below, guys. Till next time, I bet Alex knows how to do this, Chris. I bet he knows how to do this.
See,
you're not going to get it out of me. Just so you know.
He's a full-fledged rocket. Okay.
You're going to get an EDO if you start it. So just do it.
We're going, Chris. You're going to have to be loud. Till next time. OH!
Oh!
EDO!
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.